Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I hope we have had a blessed week. How has your week been? Amen. Have we been blessed?
Yeah.
Our God is good. All right. We're going to study God's word. We're going to look into God's word. And this is the beautiful thing I love about God's word. Each time we gather in His presence, just keep playing. Each time we come in His presence, He's got a lot of things for us. Things that we cannot even get with money. But like His word says, freely come, freely receive, freely give. We'll enjoy God's word today, and it will bless our lives greatly in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, saying a very big thank you to Setman and to Pastor Muyua. Thanks to my wonderful pastors and mentors and fathers of faith for opportunities given to us to showcase the glory of God and that which we've been blessed with. Amen. Amen. We do not take it for granted. We are blessed to have them in our lives. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Father, we receive your word with simplicity. As we feast, as we eat on your word, Father, we know that our lives are transformed. Our lives are greatly blessed for it. Glory, glory to you, Lord. For we move from glory to glory, steps upon step, precept upon precept. Our lives become transformed with the knowledge that comes from your word. And we are better people for it, Lord. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, quickly. We'll be looking at our inheritance in Christ. Our inheritance in Christ. Hallelujah. The dimension of our inheritance in Christ that I want to look at is I remember vividly that during the COVID time, COVID era, all we were quoting, a lot of people were just quoting Psalm 91 all the time. If only we understand very well how deep that chapter, how loaded it is. Hallelujah. The angelic protection of God, how much it's made available for us. If only we know. Praise God. Our inheritance in Christ. Our inheritance in Christ is so large. It's so big. And I just want to make effort to clear something off our head. Let's not look at it with the physical inheritance we get from our parents. You know, we know that earthly, when our fathers die or mothers die, they leave something for children. It's totally different. Our inheritance in Christ, we start enjoying it from when we get born again, not until we get to heaven. Even right here, we start enjoying a lot. Amen. Amen. Redemption is our inheritance in Christ. I hope you know. Do we need to wait until we get to heaven before we enjoy redemption? No, no, no. We need it here. Hallelujah. Amen. Supernatural provision is our inheritance in Christ. We don't need to go over there before we start enjoying it. It's here. We enjoy it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So our inheritance in Christ is so large. What we enjoy, the benefits, the things that we get from knowing Him, for coming into Him, for accepting Him into our lives. Amen. Divine protection is one of them. Hallelujah. Do we need to wait until we have crossed over before we enjoy divine protection? No. So it's part of our inheritance in Christ, our privileged right, our God's given right in Christ to enjoy. Praise God. So we'll be looking at Psalm 91. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Psalm 91. Let's first of all see. Okay, let's do Psalm 91 first. Psalm 91 verse 10 and 11. It says, "There shall no evil befall you, nor any plague or calamity." I'm using the Amplified Classic, please. "There shall no evil befall you, nor any plague or calamity come near your tent, come near your dwelling, come near your place." Hallelujah. 11 says, "For he will give his angels." For he will give what? His angels a special charge over you to accompany and defend and preserve you in all your ways of obedience and service." Hallelujah. So in talking about our inheritance in Christ, I'm really looking at delving into angelic protection. Hallelujah. Because we have this. We have this all of the time around us, but we may not know. We don't seem to take cognizance of it. Because some things just happen and then you may not understand that it's just an angelic move or a service rendered to you. Of course, by his angels. But we just feel it just happened. And that's why some of us want to say, luckily for me. It's not luck. I still remember very well in my head when I had that accident. You know, gradually, you know, when as things, as the way it happened, I knew that there was God's hand. Because this car was supposed to turn and go to the other side, but it's like those flowers in the middle, in the that middle pavement, trapped the car. I was there and I was just laughing. Amen. I still remember in my head Pastor NY's testimony about that accident also. And just in case you think it is normal that someone is involved in an accident and he could tell everything that was happening, even the other man that was bouncing, he could tell everything. Who would have an accident and be taking record? No. That's to tell you that there's angelic hand of safety, of protection. Otherwise, the first thing that will come out of it, first, some people are already dead. May God help us in Jesus' name. So we enjoy protection on all sides. It's declared in the scriptures. It's happening to us. But we don't see it because we don't put in effort to make it happen. I didn't hear pastor say, "This was the effort I did that made the accident to be like this. No, it would have been worse." No. Amen. It was solely God's help, not by human effort. So we enjoy this privilege in almost every aspect of our lives. You're going to work, that same road you pass through, there's a pit there, you didn't see it, you crossed over, someone else is passing and the person falls and you're like, I just passed there. Angelic help. The hand of the angel is under there and just, you passed that same place. Because it didn't happen to you, you didn't even know. Amen. It's easy for us to tell the Superman story because it's a movie. But we forget that these things happen to us on a daily. And that's why his word says daily he loads us with benefit. Because our effort is not needed to make them happen. We don't see it. We take it for granted. May God help us in Jesus' name. Let's see Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Verse 7, "The angel of the Lord encamps around" what? "Those who fear him." Hallelujah. "Who revere and worship him with awe. And each of them he delivers." The angel of the Lord encamps. It was Brother Higgin that was describing the angel he saw. That gave me goosebumps, and I started trying to picture. He said he saw this giant guy, this gigantic and he asked Jesus, that guy. He said, that's your angel. Amen. Amen. Do you know that when you were born, you had an angel assigned to you? We all had angels assigned to us. Or some of us think that when we grow, some people have outgrown their angel. He's still there doing his work. What's his work? Let's see. Praise God. We all know that Jesus is the head of the church, right? And the church is the body of Christ. The Bible made us understand that we have been given powers, authority. So what's the role of the angel? The Bible even said that the angel is made a little lower than man. So we are placed higher than the angels. Amen. So that's why we have them respond to us. Wait, they minister for us. For, not to. They minister for us. Amen. As help, they minister for us. Praise God. So we are far above all powers. Even in John 10:10, when the Bible was talking about how the thief comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. This is a sidewalk, but there's a reason why I'm explaining this. When the Bible talks about that the thief comes to steal, to kill, to destroy, I want us to understand that when you see somebody do certain things that you term bad, it's not really them per se, so that you don't start fighting them in the physical, that why did it? There is something behind it. There's something behind it. And that's why the scripture explains in Ephesians that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not that man. There's a power behind it. There's a control. There's a spirit. And that's the devil. Hallelujah. And then he said, that's the reason he said, we wrestle not against, in Ephesians 6:12, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Rulers of darkness. All merchandise and all plans and schemes of the devil, of the dark world. And that's the reason why, from what I learned from Jesus and Paul's letters, it's better to love these people so that we can reach out to them with God's message and bring them into the kingdom light. Hallelujah. So that they don't get destroyed. Amen. Amen. So we have also been placed far above principalities and power. We've been placed, we'll be given authority. When he says he has given, Lord, I give unto you power, what he's actually referring to is authority. Authority. We'll be given power. Authority over devil and all of his plans. We all know that the devil is the ruler of this world. But we have authority over, we have dominion over him, because we are not of the world. Even though we are in the world, we are not of the world. Yes, so we are from a different kingdom. And we have been placed high. Knowing that he said that we reign in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Ephesians 2:16. He said, and he designed to reconcile to God both Jews. Sorry, Ephesians 6:12. 6:12 says, for we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending with only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. Hallelujah. Yes, that's what we wrestle against. So when you meet someone who is supposedly doing things that are like I saw on the news, how three or four guys, I saw in the news yesterday, how they killed a young girl and were roasting the head in a pot. They wanted to make money. As annoying as it is, when you check very well, you see that it's the schemes of the devil to make them do what they are doing. Yes. As annoying as it is, God loves them and wants their soul. He wants them changed. He even paid the price for them to be transformed. What we owe them is to share God's word, pray for them, love them, and bring them to the kingdom light. And if they get born again, good and fine. He loves them regardless. Amen. Amen. When Pastor Mui was asked one day for MLM meeting, and when he mentioned some things about love, like, even if the person, yes. And then I went back and I was studying more and more and more. I saw a whole lot of things. God has not made us judge over people who offend him, over people who do the wrong things. He has not made us judge. One thing we owe is that we love and share God's word and bring them into the kingdom light. Hallelujah. Let's see the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, from 9 to 11. He said, therefore, because he stooped so low, God has highly exalted him and has freely bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that in the name of Jesus, that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. In verse 11, and every tongue frankly and openly confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, you know, this was part of the reason why Jesus also said in the book of John that we will do greater works, because here we see that he gave us a name that is above every other name. Looking at how he has bestowed authority, power, and everything on that name, and he said he has given it to us. So when you have the name, you have Jesus, you have his name, you can do so much. You can do mighty things. You can do exceptional things. You can do exceptional things. Not only those things you see people do in movies, that you say people do, or man, you are, there's a word I'm looking for. Yes, we are in a natural world, but we are supernatural. Hallelujah. We are God's supermen. How many of us watch Superman those days? Superman. Hey. Hallelujah. Okay, Superwoman. I think there's Superwoman also. So just as you have Superman, Superwoman, we are God's supermen and superwoman everywhere. And what are we supposed to do? Our life is supposed to reflect that we carry that super, which is God's life in us. Amen. No wonder I said greater works you should do. Demand anything in that name. Demand anything. For he said in his word, he said, whosoever, he didn't say only pastor, he didn't say deacons, he said whosoever shall say, Mark 11, to this mountain, be thou removed, shall have what? Whatever. So whosoever will have whatsoever. It's not assigned to only people who can preach, only people who can do ushering, or people who can play the instrument. No, 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 no. Whosoever. So it's a matter of your applying your faith to what has been freely given you. Exercise your right, your kingdom right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's see John 14. John chapter 14. Verse 12. I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do, and he will do even greater things than these, because I go to the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 13, the next verse. He said, and I will do, I myself will grant whatever you ask in my name. Hallelujah. As presenting all that I am, so that the Father may be glorified and extolled in through the Son. Hallelujah. It's not your business how he does it. All he asks you to do is ask. Just ask in my name. Hallelujah. If that simple asking, many people are afraid. So what if he not give me? What's your business? How is that your headache? Ask. Ask. Ask anything. If I walk up to Desola now and I say, Desola, ask anything. Okay, let me tell us what happened. Something happened. Something, I think it was on Timothy Loa's birthday. And his uncle came. And his uncle said, what do you want? And the boy was just there. In fact, everybody was just surprised. Ah, can you just ask what you want? In my mind, if this boy can go ask, say, okay, I want a car. Uncle, you think Tebeloa cannot ask for a car? What if this boy asks for a car now? Uncle, you want to put yourself in trouble. Do you know what it means to just walk up to them and say, ask anything? Just ask. What do you want? As if he knew. And he came prepared. And the boy thought to. And the boy just said, iPhone. Guess what? The uncle just pulled it out and just gave him. Everyone said, it's you that did not ask, it's you that did not believe. Amen. That is a human being. God said, ask. He's giving you a blank check. Ask. Did the boy see phone with his uncle? No. He was upstairs. The uncle came. He had been sitting for a while before he called him. Baby boy, come here. What do you want? He didn't see phone with his uncle. What am I trying to say? You don't need to see it come. Just ask. God has given you a blank check. My son, ask. If only we'll have faith enough to say, Lord, this is what I want. Lord, I thank you because I have this. Lord, I thank you because I'm receiving this. But no, many times we are afraid. How am I sure? I'll get this. It's not your business how it comes. I remember one time, one series, when Pastor Setman was teaching. And he said, the problem with many people is that you are asking God for a house. For a house. And then you are thinking in your mind that how much will land cost now? How much will a plot of land cost in so-and-so area? How much will it cost to mold XYZ number of blocks and all that. So you are factoring that in your head. And so it's limiting your thoughts or your ability to exercise your faith. And you are thinking, in this time that they have removed subsidy, the price of land in Ikoyi, and looking at blocks and everything, and then you are thinking in your head, at the end, after your old thoughts and everything, and you look around you, you do not have anybody that looks like who can give you that. You are not limiting your thoughts again. You say, Let me not bother God about this one. Let me just go for the one that God can do. You have so limited God to that point that you have looked around and you're saying, okay, let me just ask for something small. Something small. And I think Kenny can just quickly give me. Because in your mind, Kenny is the only source that God can reach out to you through. May God help us in Jesus' name. Expand your Isaiah 54. He said, enlarge your tent. Give elbow room. In those days, my mom used to yab on my uncle who is a teacher. Uncle Dennis. Because the guy, in fact, he gave us a clear picture. I don't know if teachers do that, but as far as he was concerned, that's what he was doing. And it seemed like it's common with a lot of them. So my mom would say, you bought yam, cook the yam and eat now. He will measure the yam. He will bring ruler and measure the yam. And measure it and begin to cut. Don't try to size God. Don't try to size God. Just trust Him. If He said it, He will do it. If He promised it, He will bring it to pass. Just trust Him. Wholeheartedly. It may look foolish in the eyes of people. Don't care. Just trust Him. Because He is God. He's not man. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Proverbs 18 verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in and they are safe. So the name of Jesus that has been given to us is a powerful tool that we can use. The name can do so much more for us than we can even imagine. So let's not limit Him. Let's not limit Him. Amen. Demand anything in the name of Jesus. Demand anything. It could be your health. You've been given a medical report by the doctor. Demand anything in the name of Jesus. And you will get that thing. It's in His name. If you ask anything in my name, He said, I will do it. I said, my thoughts from God's word. He said, even if it does not exist, I will create it. I will ensure. So when you go to a restaurant, I remember when you go to a restaurant, and you're sitting there, the waiter comes to you, right? And they wait on you. To what? To minister for you. So, when the waiter comes, they come with the menu, booklet, and ask what you want. After you've ticked what you want, okay, I want gomo, shaki, begiri, ati, amala, ewedu. After you have marked everything, the waiter goes with that, and they bring what you have ticked that you want. That's what they offer you, right? Is it the waiter that cooked the food? No. The angel of the Lord, your angels, your ministering angels, they are like the waiter in the restaurant. God makes the provision. The work of the angel is just to see that you are served. Praise God. Let's see 2 Thessalonians. The book of 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 1. Thessalonians 1, verse 11. With this in view, we constantly pray for you that our God may deem and count you worthy of your calling and His every gracious purpose of goodness and with power may complete in your every particular work of faith. Faith which is the leaning off the whole human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness. Thus, may the name of our Lord Jesus Christ be glorified and become more glorious through and in you. And may you also be glorified in Him according to the grace, favor, and blessing of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Hallelujah. Amen. He will do it because He wants His name must be glorified. It's not your effort. It's for His glory. So divine protection is for you. It belongs to us. It's for us. It's for us. It's our right in Christ. Just like Isaiah 54 verse 14 says, we are established in righteousness. It's our right in Christ. He has already placed us in good standing with Himself. So that we can have all these things. There's nothing accusing us or standing in our way. So that we can enjoy other things. Healing is our right. Righteousness, our right. Wisdom, our right. Redemption, prosperity, and divine protection. They all belong to us. They all belong to us. Hallelujah. Amen. No wonder in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, we were saying, be sober, be vigilant, and all that. Then in verse 9, he talked about being immovable, being firm, grounded, rooted, established in Christ. What does that mean? It means that even though we are in the world, we are not of the world, because we know where we are from. We are God's own. Hallelujah. We are God's own. Hallelujah. And this was what Christ said in Luke 10:19. That behold, I give unto you power. 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 Galatians 1:4. It also says that Jesus gave Himself unto us to be delivered. He has given us power. So that we will be different. So that we can live life full, complete, as light, people with a kingdom mandate in a world. Let's see Colossians 1, verse 13. Colossians 1, 13 to 14. The Father has delivered and drawn us to Himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Look at 14. In whom we have our redemption. So there's a redemptive right. There's that redemptive right that we have in Christ Jesus. Not by works, but is given. So use it. So imagine that, as Temeluwa's uncle gave him his gift, if he goes and puts it under his bed and never opens it and never uses it, the thing is there. It does not lose its value. It's still in the park. It's still there in the pali. But who is losing? Him, because he's not utilizing it. He's giving as a gift. He's not using it. So he's going about, he could use that to receive call, he could use it to search, to get things, to get information, to use for assignment and all that. He's denying himself the things he can do with that gift. Praise God. Let's not lock what God has given us under. It's a privilege. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the name of Jesus is given to us to open, to unlock doors. Hallelujah. Doors of health, wisdom, name it. There's so much we can do with it. Praise the Lord. In whom we have our redemption through His blood, which means the forgiveness of our sins. Hallelujah. Now let's look at further down, Still, verse 21 of the same Colossians 1, 21 and 21 to 23. He said, "And although you at one time were estranged and alienated from him and were of hostile attitude of mind in your wicked activities," you were lost in the world, meant to go and be doomed, "yet now has Christ the Messiah reconciled you to God in the body of his flesh through death, in order to present you holy and faultless and irreproachable in his presence. And this he will do, provided that you continue to stay with and in the faith in Christ, well grounded and settled and steadfast, not shifting or moving away from the hope which rests on and is inspired by the glad tidings." That's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, "which you heard and which has been preached, has been designed for and offered without restrictions to every person under heaven, and of which gospel I, Paul, became a minister." Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Divine protection belongs to me. Amen. Divine protection belongs to me. Hallelujah. Let's see Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3. From verse 13 to 16. Okay. So it says, "Christ purchased our freedom, redeeming us from the curse of the law and its condemnation, by himself becoming a curse for us. For it is written in the scriptures, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree,'" that's who is crucified, "to the end that through their receiving Christ, Jesus, the blessing to Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, so that we through faith might all receive the realization of the promise of the Holy Spirit." To speak in terms of human relations, to break it down in human terms, brethren, "if even a man makes a last will and testament," will, "a merely human covenant, no one sets it aside or makes it void or adds to it when once it has been drawn up and signed, ratified, confirmed. Now, the promises," that's the covenant agreements, "were decreed and made to Abraham and his seeds." Hallelujah. What are we? Heirs of Abraham. Hallelujah. "To Abraham and his seeds, his offspring, his heir. He," God, "does not say, 'and to seeds.'" He said seed, not seeds. Okay, so he's talking about descendants, heirs. He said, "as if referring to many persons, but and to your seed, your descendant, your heir," obviously referring to one individual, that is Christ. Where are we? In Christ. Praise the Lord. "Who is none other than Christ the Messiah." Amen. Amen. This gives us a clearer picture that why, when one seed goes into the ground, Christ was dead, buried, he resurrected. But in him, we all resurrected. Hallelujah. God gave one seed, his precious seed, and then he harvested nations, nations of armies for his kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So angels are ministering spirits sent by God for us to minister for us. Let's see Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews 1. It says, verse 13, besides, to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand, associated with me in my royal dignity, till I make your enemies a stool for your feet? 14, he said, are not the angels all ministering spirits, that servants sent out in the service of God, for the assistance of those who are to inherit salvation? Who are those who inherit salvation? We inherited salvation. Hallelujah. Even when we didn't deserve it, he saved us. So he sent his angels. He has given us angels as ministering spirits, as servants, to minister for us, to attend to us. Praise God. What would have cost you a big trouble? All the angel just simply did was just blow breeze. And something shifted because you're not seeing it. Because you know you can't see the angel. You don't even know what's happening. You're not seeing him do all that. But something just happened, and then you say, ah, I get luck. Oh. It's not luck. It's not luck. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God working in us both to will and do of his good pleasures. Hallelujah. So he's ministering to us, ministering for us, and carrying out that which the Father would have him do. What do they do? They listen to God's voice. They take orders from God. So when you, how do you key in? You speak God's word to them and they obey God's word. Because all they do is obey God's voice. All they do is obey God's voice. His word is his voice. Hallelujah. Amen. So when you speak God's word, that's why you should know God's word. That's why you should know God's word. That's why you should know God's word. I remember back then when we were young, we used to do what they call surgery. Even in church, we used to do surgery. You stretch out the Bible, and then they call the scriptures. People lined up, and then the first to find it, the first person to find it, you get a mark. It's called surgery. We used to do it a whole lot. It helps expose you to the scriptures. You have to know the word. At least have some scriptures in your spirit. Have some scriptures in your heart. At your fingertips like this that you can stumble on, that you can use. Not something happen, you're putting on your head, you say, Mugbe. Once something happens, you say, I don't die. No. And that's the reason why you are strangling your angel. He cannot act, because what you speak to him is God's word and is obeyed. So instead of that, you're already saying, you see an accident on the other side of the road. And next thing that comes out of your mouth is, it could have been us. You know what it means? You are wishing upon yourself. And then the angel is just tied. You've rendered him paralyzed. He can't even do anything. Because you're supposed to speak God's word to him. Say, I'm protected on all sides. He covers me. Declare that which you have seen written in Psalm 91. Declare it. And your angel is active and is not dormant and idle. Like some people have rendered their angel totally useless. But you send them on assignment, on errands, the way it should be. Give them the right words. Use the right key. You are standing in front of the door. You are holding a bunch of key. Except you use the very key that is right for that door, you can't come in. So instead of using the right words, you did that and you are praying, fire. You've not said anything. Use the right words. You meet someone who is sick, you declare God's word over the person and say, this sickness leaves now in the name of Jesus. You get the answer. That name is a key. If you like, do fall and die. If you like, do fire. You are just going to need, what do they call them? The people who put out fire. You're just going to need fire service after you have finished calling all the fires. Use the right words. Use the right words. Let your angels be active and alive and work for you, serve you. Praise God. Due to time, we're going to open to, let's open to Psalm 91. I'm going to take it from verse 1. Every one of us, we're going to read that right now. Psalm 91. We're going to pray with that. We're going to declare God's word. Hallelujah. Psalm 91. Let's do it in the NKJV. Psalm 91 in the NKJV. Hallelujah. Let's rise up on our feet as we recite Psalm 91. We're going to pray with it. We're going to read it and we're going to pray with it. Amen. Are we ready? Let's rise up on our feet as we read Psalm 91. One to go. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler. Personalize it. And from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover me with His feathers, and under His wings I shall take refuge. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. I shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Only with my eyes shall I look and see the reward of the wicked, because I have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, my dwelling place. No evil shall befall me, nor shall any plague come near my dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. In their hands they shall bear me up, lest I dash my foot against a stone. I shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent I shall trample underfoot, because He has set His love upon me. Therefore, He will deliver me. He will set me on high, because I have known His name. I shall call upon Him, and He will answer me. He will be with me in trouble. He will deliver me and honor me. With long life, He will satisfy me and show me His salvation. Hallelujah. Let's begin to pray over those words we just recited. He will keep me. With long life, He will satisfy me. Yes, yes, yes. Le farabada de shanda brana mandi. I will tread upon the lion and the cobra. Oh, for He gives His angels charge over me. Oh, to keep me in all my ways. Because I have made the Lord, who is my refuge, the Most High God, my dwelling place, no evil shall befall me. Nor shall any plague come near my dwelling. He shall cover me with His feathers. And under His wings I shall take refuge. Ole prodobo soprene mondo riana mande de shadada. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. Ole makabara barado soteada. Ole brene mondo vrono mosotea. Ole pagada de shadada. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Ole makabara dado sotea. Ole manda vrana mosotea. He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Oh, thank you, mighty God. I declare these things over my life. I declare it over my household. I declare it over my business. I declare it over every sphere of my life. Pele makta pakarados le frene no soprene mondo vrono mo sharada ke banda mande vrene ke bodo sumleria nana yeta palabana mande vrene no sharada ba ke banda vrana moto prene mo sopteria da desha. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.